Welcome to the No Meh Movies Podcast. How many times have you heard a movie is alright? It's average. It's just okay. You ask your friends if you should see it and they say, meh. I'm Davey Barrist and he's Darren Cross. And on this show, we'll break down and review these movies and decide once and for all if these meh movies are good or bad. And whether or not you should watch them. Because on this show, there are no meh movies. Now, for a movie to qualify as meh, it must be between 40 and 60 on the tomato meter or 4 and 6 on IMDb. And this week, we are celebrating a birthday, Darren. We are celebrating the birthday of action comedy legend Jackie Chan by going back and checking out a movie from his legendary Police Story franchise. It would be technically the fifth Police Story movie. It is 1996's First Strike, often referred to as Jackie Chan's First Strike, which scores a 57% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 6.6 on IMDb. Spoiler warning, of course, spoiler warning for the whole movie. Darren, in case it's been a while since they've seen it or they've never seen it before, what is Jackie Chan's First Strike all about?
First Strike is about Jackie Chan, whose character is named Jackie or Kevin. He is a police officer or maybe CIA agent, not CIA, but whatever the equivalent to CIA is in China.
I believe he's a police officer on loan to the CIA. Yeah.
Okay, just a police officer in China who the CIA was using, and they tell him, oh, we need you for this one other thing. You just have to follow this lady to Ukraine, and then you'll be done. No worries, you know. But of course, he ends up getting wrapped up in all the shenanigans, and so it's about trying to find... It's really about trying to find who the correct enemy is, because... It's a little bit of confusion about who's the good guy and who's the bad guy throughout all this, but it's about, it kind of hooks on that Eastern European nuclear threat thing that a lot of movies did in the 90s, where it's like, oh, what if the Russians or the Ukrainians get the nuke and they nuke us? They kind of hook on that a little bit. So it's about them trying to stop the bad guys, figuring out who the bad guys are, and then stopping them.
Yes, had a very serious post-Cold War vibe to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Darren. First question we ask of all our meh movies is, did the movie do what it was supposed to do? So, Jackie Chan's First Strike, considered here a Hong Kong action comedy. Did this movie do what it was supposed to do?
I said yes and no to this a bit. I was more a yes on the action side of things and more a no on the comedy side of things. There were a couple things that made me laugh, but I kind of wished it was funnier. And I don't find Jackie Chan's like cute little reactions to things all that funny. Where like
How
when he's
dare cold, you, sir, on his birthday.
When he's cold and he's constantly like trying to blow on his hands, which by the way, Jackie Chan, just makes your hands colder.
Really?
Yeah. There's some early trivia for
early
you.
Trivia.
That's the lesson. That's my lesson, actually, for the week. But in any case, I thought the action was great. It was very enjoyable. It was fun to watch. He's certainly a talented guy. But I could have done with it being a little funnier to really complete the action comedy. Like, you know, it made me think about like Rush Hour. Like Rush Hour, Jackie Chan, is really funny as well as like having the good action. So that's how I feel about that. Did the movie do what it was supposed to do?
All right.
How about you?
I'm going to say that the movie did do what it was supposed to do for me. I think when it comes to the comedy, this may be a cultural, you know, divide. This might be, I mean, this movie was very successful in Hong Kong. And it might just be that this comedy hits differently there. Like this style of kind of that Jackie Chan reactionary slapstick kind of comedy, koala bear underwear and things like that.
That
was funny. That got you. It might just hit a little differently over there. I kind of gave it a pass on that. And then the action, obviously, like the stunt work is just, it's phenomenal. I mean, has anyone ever come close to the Jackie Chan style of stunt? Like not fight choreography. Cause there, I mean, Jet Li and, I'm blanking on his name. I know him from Rogue One. Donnie Yen. Like there are tons of martial artists out there that do really good fight choreography, but the stunt choreography that he does is just, it's next level. Yeah. It's beyond next level. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
So yeah. So, when I knew we were going to do a Jackie Chan movie, I was like, okay, I want to see some crazy stunt work, some crazy fight scenes, some crazy choreography, and, a little of that Jackie Chan charm thrown in there. And I think this movie delivered that. And okay. We'll get in successes and failures. We'll get into some of the specific scenes that we liked, or some of the choreography that we really liked. But yeah, I think the movie did what it was supposed to do, or did what it, you know, you ex- what it promised to do from the trailer, maybe.
Yeah, and we should. I think it's a good thing to mention now is that, like, so this was a movie that was originally made as a, you know, a Chinese language movie. And kind of was adapted into or dubbed into what we watched. Yes. Right. So that should just be noted in general, because, you know, that's going to have an effect on several different things, which we'll get into.
Yes. And not only so you there are two languages kind of that this movie was done in. That'll come up in trivia, but between Mandarin and Cantonese. We saw a slightly different version, and that may come up in successes and failures, but we'll get into that. So, Darren, the next question we go to, the next category we go to is, did the actors bring it? And just like last week, where our Taken movie was all about Liam Neeson, I have a feeling that this week is going to be all about one person. Go ahead, take the name, go ahead and say it. Who is your top performer?
Mine was Nathan Jones, who played Russian Hitman number 5.
Those Russian hitmen they found the biggest human beings ever.
You really brought it.
Yeah. Some of the names. So Jackie Chan as Inspector. We knew him as Jackie. I think Kevin is the name used in the Hong Kong version. Chan Kak Kwai is the official name used over there. Jackson Liu played Jackson Tsui. Was that the name of the crime family?
Yeah, I think they pronounced it Sui. Yeah.
Sui, just Sui?
Yeah.
Annie Wu as Annie Sui. Bill Tung as Uncle Bill, who is his superior. Yuri Petrov as Colonel Gregor Yegorov. Nona Grishaiva as Natasha. Didn't stick around in the movie very long.
You're not even going to try the last name, are you?
Oh. It doesn't say here. It just says Natasha.
Oh, mine has the last name.
Oh, let me look on Wikipedia.
Natasha
Grishayeva?
Retshkineshkaya. Oh. So many.
You would win Scrabble. If you played that, you would win Scrabble. All right. Terry Wu as Uncle Seven. Yeah, and then a lot of hitmen and assassins and so on and so on and so on. So, I thought you were just making a joke about Russian Hitman number 5. I was looking at IMDb. You were looking at Wikipedia. Nathan Jones is actually Russian Hitman number 5.
Yeah,
all right, Darren, yes. Who was your top performer in all that?
It was Jackie Chan. Yeah. He definitely, I don't know how you could say that he doesn't bring it in a Jackie Chan movie, right? So, I mean, if you're talking about acting, right? There's different parts of acting, and physical acting is part of it, right? That's a thing that some people do better than others or whatever. And how could you say he doesn't bring it if you include that as sort of in your assessment, right? So, I mean, he's does all of his stunts and everything. So like he's putting in 150% on all this stuff. Otherwise it's not going to work. And you all at the end of all of his movies, there's always all these outtakes, which show you that he screws up a lot.
Yes, he does.
So he's obviously putting a lot of effort in because he's doing these things over and over again, trying to get them right.
Yeah, he takes a lot of punishment.
Yeah. And then as far as I think it's a little hard to assess like his acting chops. I find it hard to assess because again, like it's originally a Chinese movie that was kind of adapted for in English for Americans. But I mean, I think he's all right. You know, like he's not going to get a Academy Award for acting, you know what I mean? But you get what you expect to get from Jackie Chan. And really that's all of the physical stuff. And then the more like emotional reactive other like standard acting stuff, I think is serviceable, but I wouldn't say it's like amazing.
Yeah. So looking back, I watched the trailers. Obviously I didn't sit and watch the entire Police Story, you know, saga, but I watched the trailers for the four movies that came beforehand. And it felt like the first two Police Stories were pretty serious. It's hard to tell because the trailer is literally all five of these. The trailer is just action shot, action shot, action shot with some narrator going, Jackie Chan is in his toughest movie yet. So it's hard to tell how much like what the actual acting like was like and what the tone was like. I did not expect this movie to be as silly as it was based on the trailer. But it feels like the first two Police Story might be that more gritty, more serious movie that you're thinking. It seems like some of the slapstick and some of the silliness started to come out in the next two movies, which were called Super Cop. And I believe in Super Cop 2, he actually only has a bit part. I believe it's more focused on Michelle Yeoh's character, who she shows up in the first Super Cop movie. So it started to trend that way. And then you get into Rush Hour and you get into Shanghai Nights and the slapstick is like turned up to 100, right?
Yeah.
In those movies, the silliness and the comedy. So I think you would have seen more acting chops if you go back and watch those first two Police Story, which I'm tempted to do. I'm really tempted to go watch those after this. All right. So yeah, I agree with everything Darren said about Jackie Chan. He's that good. I guess we should give some credit to I thought Jackson Liu, who played kind of the sometime villain of the movie but like actually not the villain of the movie, I thought he was pretty good. He had like the only real emotional scene was between him and his sister, right? Annie Wu, who plays his sister. I thought both of them bounced very well off of Jackie Chan as someone who wasn't outmatched by him, wasn't intimidated by him, you know, was almost working on his level. We didn't see as much of the action out of Annie, but Jackson Liu had some interesting action scenes in there. Yeah, so I thought both of them gave a good performance.
I thought he did a pretty good.
Yeah.
What else is he in that I recognize him from?
Jackson Liu? I couldn't find much. Both him and Annie Wu didn't seem like they did a lot in the States. It looked like they had long careers, you know, across the sea, but I couldn't find anything that he really stood out.
Maybe he just looks like somebody else that I recognize, but he's just, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Michelle Yeoh, she went on to have a pretty good Hollywood career from the Super Cop movies. So yeah. So that is the cast. That's kind of our thoughts of this cast. It was kind of hard, especially because the voices are all dubbed. You know, we didn't really get. It's hard to judge someone's acting chops when you're not actually hearing their voice.
Right.
All right. And to be honest, I mean, these movies, just like Taken last week, it's about one man. It's about your action star. You're pretty much following Jackie Chan in every scene. All right. Time to get into successes and failures. Where did the movie succeed? Where did the movie fail? And we get into this by talking about themes. And I gotta be honest, Darren, was there a theme to this movie? Just like last week with Taken, when you do an action movie, the theme is survive, right? The theme is stay alive.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think the only theme, and it's the same as last week, that you can like punch into these movies is like, substantial greed or like disregard for human life or the sake of monetary gain or something, you know, like it's sort of like oh, there's a bad guy and he's going to do something really bad because it's going to give him money or power or both.
Yeah, I did not realize how hard themes would be with meth movies. You know, when we started adding that this season, we had some decent themes in some of our earlier movies, but yeah, in these action movies, man, they're pretty straightforward. They're like, look, we ain't sugarcoating anything here. There's a good guy, there's a bad guy, there's some good guys or bad guys, and go play.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cold Wars are bad. I don't know. Maybe that's the theme. All right, so let's get into successes and failures. Yeah, what did you have? What succeeded? What worked for you? What didn't? What do you want to start with?
I'll start with a failure. I think you probably did the best you could with the technology, but like the dubbing was a failure for me. And
yes,
I knew it was going to be this way going into the movie, but it still was a failure, right? And so I think that's why you have these days, like in more modern times, where you have movies just like committing to being subtitled, right? They're like, we just don't think it's going to have the same impact if we try to dub it, and it's going to ruin the story, or it's going to impact it negatively enough that it's not worth it. So we'll subtitle it. And that way, at least it's annoying maybe for you, you have to read everything, but at least you'll get to hear the actors as the actors themselves, hear the tone as the tone is supposed to be, and all that stuff. So that was a little challenging, the dubbing.
I agree. That was definitely on my fail list. Yeah. Didn't Parasite won Best Picture? Was that a year ago or something like that? And completely in a foreign language, Korean, I believe.
Yeah.
And every time I've watched a foreign film, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. I can pay attention to both and be perfectly happy. And you're right. You lose all the emotion of the acting by dubbing those voices.
Mm-hmm.
I got used to it as the movie went on enough that it like I could just watch the movie and not think about it for a while. But I never it never got comfortable. It was always kind of annoying in the back of your mind.
Yeah. And it never quite lines up perfectly, right? There's always like a little, they started before the sound, or they ended a little. It's just like, you know, not as bad as like old Kung Fu movies that they tried to dub. But
yes,
they're still like just a little off, just a touch.
All right, my first fail, well, I guess that was my first fail, but the first one I'll bring up is the debrief scenes. There were like two that I could remember, or three debrief scenes, and they were just awful. I got no information. I still am not sure what this movie is about. I mean, I understand that someone had some pieces of a nuclear weapon, and he wasn't sure who to trust.
Yeah.
But other than that, I have no idea who any of these people are, what departments they come from, like how long he's been working with them, why he's trusting them. Just, yeah. And the debrief scenes didn't help. Like, that's the point of the debrief scene. The reason James Bond goes through the debrief scene at about the 15 to 20 minute mark is so that we can give you all the pertinent information you need to know for the rest of this movie.
Yeah.
This is the villain. This is his backstory. Oh, he used to work for MI6, and now he's this, and now he's with this terrorist organization, and this is their mission. Okay, good. Go get him, James. Like, these debrief scenes just barely had any information. Who was Natasha? Why was he following her? What was her connection? And then she disappears. She disappeared fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you thought she was going to be like a main part of the movie. She's just gone.
Yeah. In the one debrief scene, there was like a blonde woman that was like basically sitting on his lap in the Russian debrief scene.
Yeah.
And I thought like, okay, is she like leaning in to translate for him? No, nope. She's just sitting uncomfortably close to him. So yeah, so that was a fail, which failed the plot of the movie, because I'm like, where are we going?
Right. So you could argue that, because in most meh movies, or not most, but a lot of them, we always are talking about how like they make the mistake of telling us what's happening rather than showing us. Yes. So you're saying they didn't even quite accomplish that.
Yes. Action movies get away with it because you get the debrief scene. Like like a loophole that action movies have slid into their framework.
Okay. I'll switch over to a success. We kind of already talked about it, and I think this is probably the biggest success of the movie, is the way that Jackie Chan makes all of the stunts that he does look so effortless. That's what's fun about watching him, is that it's all so smooth, and you're just like, it doesn't even look like he's even trying. Like, so, yeah. And that's, so I gave a success to that. And like, specifically, like when I wrote this down, it was like one of the times where he like climbed up the side of a building. Right. And he just uses that concept of like, you know, if there's a walls on either side of you, you just hit each wall back and forth until you go higher and higher. There's probably a name for that of some sort.
Yes, parkour, ninja warrior whatever. Style.
Yeah. But he just does it so effortlessly. He's just like, oh, I'll be up here now, I guess.
Yeah, he does climb that one rock wall to get into the aqua world. And then he comes down on that palm tree.
Yeah.
In that brick wall where he just sticks his feet out against the palm tree and walks his way down the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I don't think there's any wires CGI'd out of that. I think he's just doing those things.
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah, I had some specific scenes that I wanted to call out, and I'm calling it the penthouse parkour chase scene, where the two Russian gangsters find him and chase him through his condo, his whatever penthouse, and it was great stunt work. It was well paced, where they were constantly throwing obstacles in front of him, and he was constantly jumping and shimmying and climbing and flipping his way. If you ever have Jackie Chan cornered, he is going to like back roll out of that situation and like flip out a window. Like, just know that's the move that's coming. He's going backwards on you. And what made it great is these two Russian brutes that like can't. Sometimes in a Jackie Chan movie, there'll be someone who can keep up with him, and you get like a chase scene. These guys obviously couldn't keep up with him. So they're two bumbling idiots now yelling at each other. It was just a very fun scene.
Yeah, I think that was actually the scene I was talking about. Because at one point when he's outside, he climbs up to the like roof of that hotel for a hot set. I don't know. So he does a lot happens.
Yeah.
Talking about like specific scenes, I gave a success to the fight scene where he fights like the staff of the, I don't know, it's not a restaurant, or when he is
the
fighting
Sioux family.
Yeah, when he's fighting when the Sioux family thinks he's the enemy still, and he like goes in there, and there's like a lot of guys that he fights.
Yes,
and
it's the Golden Dragon. I mean, I think it's the Golden Dragon's gang hanging out, and like they're getting ready for the funeral of Uncle
Seven. Yeah. Golden Dragon Club.
I called it the Red Stick Fight.
Yeah. So I called it the Staff Fight.
There you go. Probably also could be called the Ladder Fight too.
Yeah, yeah. There's just something fun about staffs that is just like, if you do it well, it's just like so entertaining, and they do it really well. Right. So like it's him with staffs, and then the other guys have staffs, and there's constant like threat of like poking, and like, you know, it's just like, it's just
Darren's biggest fear, the constant threat of poking.
Yeah. Well, you know, like really hard poking. Did you watch the credits? The
oh take? Yeah. I watched the outtakes.
So one of the outtakes, the guy with the staff hits him right in the nose, and they show like Jackie Chan like has like a bloody nose because he hits him right in the nose. And it's just, you know, it's just like, it's the kind of weapon that like always, almost always makes for like a good fight scene, because it's not devastating enough that like if you get hit by it once, you're like dead. It's not like a sword, right? Where if you like, do you get hit hard by a sword, it's like, you're probably dead. Like, or you should be, right?
Tis but a flesh wound. Right.
But you get hit hard by a staff, I mean, it hurts, but it's like not, it's not a death. It's not yeah.
That's exactly where I was going to go with it. You could, you could really wail on each other and not, and keep the fight going.
Yeah.
So I had that as a success too. And he brings a ladder into it, about an 8 foot, 12 foot ladder. And the things he does with that ladder are, I mean, that's what makes a Jackie Chan fight scene so much fun. You put an everyday object in front of him and he makes it a weapon or a defense mechanism in the fight.
Yeah.
I think watching the trailer for the first Supercop movie, he does that with, they're in like a department store, and he does that with like a clothing rack on wheels. So he's got the, you know, the bar at the top, the bar is on the side, and he keeps spinning it around, blocking the bad guys with it.
Yeah.
And hitting them with it. So yeah, so it's what the shot I love the most. There's like one shot of just him, and they like throw two chairs at him, and he like ducks one and jumps over the other one. And I don't know, it's such a fun thing to put. It like broke the pace, and it was like this perfect beat of comedy in the fight where you're like, staff, ladder. And all of a sudden someone throws a chair. It's like this curveball that comes out of nowhere, but he's still ready for it because he's Jackie Chan. Yeah, so I had that as a success too. All right, I want to talk about a fight scene that didn't work for me.
Okay.
And I think there's a Rotten Tomatoes critic that's going to disagree with me. But the underwater fight, which is the climax of the movie. So she works, Annie works at, was it Aqua World or something like that?
Yeah, some aquarium. Yeah.
In Australia. And she works swimming with the sharks and is a diver there. And basically they have a fight scene in her diving area where all the bad guys have scuba tanks. She has a scuba tank. The nuclear material is in a fake air filter or air canister at the bottom of the tank. And Jackie Chan is the only one who doesn't have oxygen. Now, that part was creative. The fact that he's constantly having to pull the mouthpiece off of the bad guys to get a breath of air and keep the fight going, that was creative. But they basically have a slow motion choreographed fight to end the movie, and it didn't work for me. I don't know. I remember messing around as a kid in the pool when you were younger, and I don't think you can hit somebody that hard.
It is a good question. Did you bring us a lesson about that this week by chance?
The speed of a punch and through the viscosity of water? No. I did not have time to look that up. I'll find a local swimming pool and I'll try to punch my brother. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Because I think you one can make an argument that it's sort of, you're not, it's sort of doing a disservice to what Jackie Chan can bring to a movie, right? So he can bring the pace and like the ladder scene, right? And so to make the calm, you know, if it wasn't the ending scene, the ending fight, maybe if it was like somewhere in the middle or something like that.
Yeah, if you flip the movie and that was the first fight and the snow chase and the snow scene was the second one or the last one, the climax of the movie, maybe.
Yeah.
It was creative. It was definitely creative. But yeah, it didn't work as the climax of the movie for me. So I put it as a fail.
I'll save a couple of my favorite funny parts of the movie were during that scene though, but I'll talk about those later.
Well, speaking of the snow fight, did that work for you?
It was okay. Again, it was sort of like, I don't like his like, I'm cold, I'm shivering thing that like kind of got annoying.
He takes the time to find a hat. You think he would have stole a coat off somebody at some point.
It did. And it did feel very James Bondish, right? For me, that, like, and I think for a lot of people, for some reason, like a snow fight, whether it be skis or snowboards or snowmobiles or whatever the hell it is, feels very James Bondish. It's just, that's just, yeah, I don't, and especially if you're dealing with Eastern Europeans, or like, then it's very, very James Bondish.
Yeah, I think that, and just there were hordes of like henchmen coming after him.
Yeah.
And the music, if you notice, the music in that scene is very, ba-da-ba-da-da-da. It was very jazzy. I honestly think that they were trying to make his character, you know, Jackie, the character, into a James Bond. I truly believe, and I think some people have said that, there might even be some Rotten Tomatoes things that say that, where like they were clearly going for a James Bond international spy kind of vibe.
Yeah.
I felt it. I don't know if it worked for me, but maybe it didn't work because I didn't get to hear. I mean, what makes James Bond fun is all his dialogue. And if I don't get to hear actual Jackie Chan doing some of that dialogue, then
right,
I lose out on some of that fun, some of that banter.
I don't know if Jackie Chan is sexy enough.
Hey, you saw his butt. We got to see his butt. He's in shape, I'll tell you that.
He's very fit. He's very fit, yes.
he's no Daniel Craig walking out of the ocean, but yeah, he ain't half bad.
The next failure I had was, and I guess this kind of piggybacks on the underwater thing, it was a very abrupt and anticlimactic ending to the movie, was it not?
Yes, that was my next fail.
It was like all of a sudden it was just like, oh, it's over. Oh, okay.
He jumps the car. So the bad guys are getting away on a boat. It's a very iconic, I think, scene for Jackie Chan. So he takes this red sports car and he jumps it off land and crashes it into the boat and knocks the bad guys out. And that's it. It's
and
over. It's
and then it cuts to him in his full, his full
in police. Russian military ghillie. I think he was in a Russian military uniform.
Whatever he is.
They're like, here, borrow this uniform. It's your size.
We don't accept people in the Russian mafia this small. So we have this extra. But yeah, so yeah, like you said, he crashes the boat. They show the bad guy, the main bad guy, kind of like disoriented or like kind of basically knocked out. And then it just cuts to they're on this top of the submarine, like the submarine is breached and they're standing on top of it doing like a ceremony or something.
Yeah. I don't even know. Do we know what happens to Jackson Tsui?
I don't think so.
Just like the debrief scenes. It's just over. Like, did the good guys win? Was the day saved? I legitimately don't know. All right. That's what I got as successes and failures. I think we are very in line on this one so far.
Yeah, that's all I had as well.
All right, Darren, it is time to see what the Rotten Tomatoes critics thought. How did this thing end up 57% on Rotten Tomatoes, which, as far as movies that me and you talk about, is a pretty respectable score. And normally this is the part of the podcast where I ask Darren if he's feeling fresh or feeling rotten, but I've got some bad news for you. There are no rotten reviews on Rotten Tomatoes of this movie. There are plenty of critics that gave it a rotten score, but I have no fun blurbs to read to you. So we're only going to be able to talk about the fresh ones.
All right.
Let's see here. What do we got? I told you someone was going to disagree with me. Luke Y. Thompson from New Times said the climatic shark tank fight is a masterpiece of choreography. You know what? I will agree with that. From a choreography standpoint, yes.
That's what I was going to say. It's probably pretty hard to put that together and make it look okay.
To get trained sharks?
Yeah. Yeah. Where'd they get those sharks from?
I don't know. One definitely looked like Bruce from Jaws. Like, it moved like a big mechanical shark. What, some of them were real sharks, though.
I think you hit it on the head that you could, from purely choreographically, maybe you could say like, oh, wow, that was very well done. But did it serve a Jackie Chan style fight movie?
As Obi-Wan Kenobi would say, from a certain point of view. All right, what else do we have on Rotten Tomatoes here? Honestly, the rest of them are just complimenting Jackie Chan's fighting. Carol Buckland from CNN.com, she says, Jackie Chan's first strike is kung fu foolishness of a very entertaining sort, and action fans will get a kick out of it. Michael DeQuina from themoviereport.com said, all the action and laughs that one would expect from a police story film, or for that matter, a Jackie Chan film, are all in full view here. Susan Wozinski? I'm just going to say Wozinski. No, that's not right either. Wilazinka. Susan Wilazinka from USA Today said, there's definitely more than three rings worth of death-defying feats, high-flying slapstick, and even a few well-trained animal acts. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's what everyone's writing about here. So, the people that gave it a fresh review, they really like Jackie Chan. What would you say was the top stunt? Jumping out of the helicopter or jumping onto the helicopter? Either or. One of those has to be the...
Yeah. Yeah, or any of the stuff where he's flying out. You know what? The stilt stuff was pretty impressive. He does some crazy leg moves on, and those are like assuming he was actually on stilts of that height without any ropes or anything like that. That's got to be challenging. So that's pretty impressive.
All right. Yeah. So I would love to tell you that there's more nuance and detail in the Rotten Tomatoes reviews this week, but there just ain't. There just ain't. All right, Darren, it is time for that part of the podcast where we pitch a sequel. Now, I know what's happened in the movies beforehand, but if you were going to pitch a sequel to First Strike, Jackie Chan, Second Strike, what are you pitching?
Second Strike? I don't know.
Okay, I kind of feel the same way, and I think I know why. It's just like James Bond. It's just like Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible. You could literally take the character of Jackie, and you could literally put him anywhere in the world against any bad guy or terrorist or gang with any global threat, and it works. And the movie works.
It's true.
You literally could do anything. If you told me he goes to Argentina and fights ex-Nazis hiding in the Argentinian countryside, like, I'm like, yeah, okay, I see it. If you tell me he goes to LA and fights biker gangs, like, I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Like, it works. It all works. It's just this character you just want to keep, just like Ethan Hunt and just like James Bond, just want to keep throwing him up against bad guys, the baddest of the baddest.
Yeah. That's my sequel, all of that.
I was going to say, what if he comes to LA and we partner him with like a fast-talking African-American cop and their cultures... Oh, wait, I think they did that.
Yeah, they might have done that one.
It was hard. I was sitting here thinking this and I'm like, there is no sequel because anything is a sequel.
Yeah, it's all a sequel.
I mean, you did get plenty of sequels out of this. There are 7 official films in the Police Story franchise. After this comes New Police Story and then Police Story 2013. Which are both kind of reboots, I think. So this was kind of the end of the run for him in this role, because he goes on to do those American franchises. I can't even tell you that the original police stories are that nuanced, because it's just he's a cop going up against bad guys, crime lords, gangs. It's literally what we were talking about. That's what the first police story and super cop movies are. They just take place in Hong Kong or China. So, yeah. That's what you get what you get in a police story movie. Yeah.
It's a simple formula.
Yeah, it works. Simple, but it works. Die Hard, but on a train.
Speed, but on a boat.
Oh, you're blowing my mind, man. All right, Darren, it is time for quick picks. It's time for our nitpicks of the movie. It's time to pick out those last little details we like. What do you got for me in quick picks?
The first one was, it would be terrible to fly all the way to Ukraine from... No, he was in L.A. Wasn't he in America?
No.
I don't think he was
in
Hong Kong.
Oh,
you know, he was.
Yeah.
Still, fly all the way to Ukraine from Hong Kong just to be told you're going to be going back on a flight the next day back to Hong Kong. That sounds terrible. I know they like put him up at a hotel and stuff like that, and it was all nice, but... It's so much plane time.
They do jerk him around the globe in a very short matter of time. He's in four cities in what feels like, a week?
Yeah.
All right, my first quick pick is... He proves he's cold when the CIA guy asks him, "Aren't you cold?" He proves he's cold by lifting his shirt and showing his nipples. Now, that is one way to show someone that you're cold. But probably not my first instinct. And what's funny is he does that in the outtakes. So in the outtakes, they're like trying to get a winter coat on him after someone yells cut. And he like lifts his shirt to show his nipple to show how cold he is. So I wonder if he did that as a joke on set and then they just stuck it in the movie.
They're like, "Oh, you should totally do that in the movie." It's like, okay. Next one I had... Were we supposed to believe for a single second that Jackson Sue was pretending to be like Russian or Ukrainian? He's wearing that like blonde, long haired wig. But he clearly hasn't, not trying to be offensive, but he has an Asian look to him, right? An Asian Pacific look to him.
Yes,
and he's like, and again, maybe in the not dubbed, his impression of a Russian accent is better, but he clearly has like an Asian Pacific dialect that's coming through his fake Russian accent.
I to be honest, was the actor in the first half of the movie the same as the actor in the second half of the movie? Because I wasn't sure. He's wearing wigs and glasses, and then in the second half of the movie, he's a very handsome, Chinese man. And I'm like,
yeah,
is this the same person even?
Yeah, I don't know, but it felt like we were for a second. It was like a full on like Naked Gun situation. I was like, this is so not believable. I hope it's on purpose. I don't know. Like, I don't know if it was.
That's the crossover we needed. We needed a super cop. What did you just say?
Naked Gun
crossover.
That's the sequel.
Forget Rush Hour. That's the sequel I'm pitching. I want Jackie Chan and Leslie Nielsen. Could you imagine Leslie Nielsen trying to keep up with Jackie Chan? And Jackie Chan verbally trying to keep up with Leslie Nielsen? How did we not get this in the 90s? Yeah, I am mad at the 90s now. I'm mad at an entire decade. Okay. Staying in the Russian snow scene movie. So they get to this cabin and the bad guy goes in and Jackie Chan is sitting on the house and the CIA and joint Ukrainian task force show up and they go into the house and they're surprised. They're ambushed by snow troopers literally hiding in the snow. How long were those guys face down in the snow?
They were wearing masks. So maybe they were thermal masks.
Still, even if you carve out, I look like they carved out little, like, you know, little caves for themselves to lay in.
Yeah.
How, they must have been laying there for at least an hour to set up that ambush.
Yeah. They were cold. They had hard nipples for sure.
Yes. That'd be great if one of them got up and went, "Hey, look at my nipple."
Or Jackie Chan was like, "Aren't you cold?" And he was like, "Whoop, yep."
I do want to make an addendum to this quick to this nitpick, okay. Which is once the snowtroopers got into action, skiing snow villain troopers are very cool.
Yeah,
bad guys on skis, very cool.
Yeah, that's why James Bond did it. Yeah,
yeah, they were doing some cool jumps. They had some pretty insane wipeouts too.
Yeah.
Everybody had some wipeouts in that scene. But yeah, as silly as it was to hide in the snow for an hour, once they got into action, pretty cool.
When Jackson Sui meets, so like for a hot second there, like him and Natasha are like romantic, right? They're like, right? If I'm getting that right, I think.
Yes, I believe that was the story, yes.
Yes. And he like gets out of the, so this is after he removes his wig and Jackie Chan is in the van with him following him. And he meets up Natasha and they just like start doing it against that stone wall. Like they're like, I get it. They were like happy to see each other. And I was like, oh, they're going to like make out for a second. And then like, no, like I'm pretty sure they just like had sex against that wall.
Well, he had to take her clothes off because she had all that money.
Right.
Strapped right. underneath her. So, I mean, Darren, they're just.
If you're taking you know your clothes off anyway.
You got $1 million strapped to yourself. You know, you get a little frisky taking it off. And next thing you know, one thing leads to another.
Yeah. I hate when that happens all the time.
Yeah. So, speaking of, I'm not done. Yeah. I'm not done with this Russian snow chase, snow scene. When he jumps off the helicopter and lands in that lake. He's dead, right?
Oh, yeah.
He has hypothermia. Sure he's for sure dead.
Yeah, he's in that water for like a good minute at least. And if it's that cold outside, oh, yeah, I don't think he survived that.
Yeah, okay, good. I'm glad we're in agreement on that one.
Do you think we kind of touched on this a little bit already, but do you think in 1996, the whole like, Eastern European bad guy thing felt played out even because it doesn't to me it doesn't hold up it didn't hold up in this like it into obviously it's 2021 it's many years ago.
Yeah, I think back then it was still a thing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think it was close enough to the threat of the Cold War and all that that yeah it probably still worked back then.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, the times they are a changing.
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about a live koala bear in your hotel room?
Adorable. I don't know how, for all I know, this is how little I know about koala bears. They might be ferocious. You know, this is a wild animal. Yeah. Again, it's cute, but maybe it's like strong, like a monkey and it can like rip your arm off. I don't know.
I know those claws are legit, right? Cause they can tear apart bamboo shoots. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did my homework, Nomad Movies listeners, and I, of course, looked into this.
Is this the lesson about koala bear?
No, this isn't the lesson. But if you are looking to travel to Australia once you get your COVID vaccine, I thought I found something. It was titled on TripAdvisor, Beautiful Two-Story Room with Wild Koala Bear on Site. The blurb is from a review of someone who stayed at like a Airbnb and the owner pointed out a tree on the property that had a koala bear in it. That's as close as I got. There's also seems to be a resort at an eco-friendly zoo where like it's a very nice resort within the zoo and then you get to like privately tour the zoo.
I see.
In the evening. But I don't believe there's actual animals in your room. So that's as close as I could get. I tried. It's like
I would have given it 5 stars, but in the middle of the night, the koala scratched me to death. And so I had to give it 4 stars. Yeah. And I would probably go to, I think I would go to Australia if I had the opportunity. It's not all that high on my list, but they seem to have the scariest animals and creatures, and all of the terrifying things live in Australia. Like
Yes, I
the
yeah.
biggest spiders and like the strangest, most lethal snakes, and I don't know.
Yes, it would. I don't know. I'd still like to go. It seems a very adventurous country. A lot of adventurous tourism things to do if you went.
I just have one more. And the thing, this is probably the thing I found the funniest in the entire movie. So in the tank scene, in the choreographed tank scene, when Jackie Chan and the bad guys keep trading off cutting each other's thumbs to attract, to make blood to attract the sharks. And I just love that their gut reaction when their thumb gets cut is they stuff it in their mouth. It was killing me. That totally worked for me. It was so funny.
A human reaction, right? You cut your thumb, you immediately kind of try to suck on it, get the blood.
It was a combination of that, and they're like, also, if I put it in my mouth, it won't bleed and attract the sharks. Okay.
All right, I did some more research, Darren. Did you catch that Jackie Chan a few times used the term he was what was his name? Jackson?
Jackson
Yeah,
Sudi.
Jackson's sworn brother. Did you catch that a couple times?
I did not.
Yeah, he kept and when he introduced himself to Uncle Seven, he lied and said that he was Jackson's sworn brother to gain their trust. Well, I looked it up, and this is from an article on Washington University's open scholar, actually Washington University in St. Louis, their open scholarship. This is someone's thesis, Duan Chen, and the introductory paragraph. It has been a long, it has long been a tradition in China for people who are not related by blood to become sworn brothers or sisters because they share similar interests, ambitions, or responsibilities. As proof of their commitment, many people conduct formal rituals such as toasting each other with wine into which their blood has been mixed.
Oh, blood
Usually,
brothers.
sworn siblings took on dual responsibilities as brothers or sisters as well as friends. So it's basically like saying he's my blood brother. Like, the tradition of kind of slicing your hand and shaking hands, we're blood brothers now. We're more than friends, we're blood brothers. This is basically that. So basically he's just saying we're best friends.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that, a sworn brother that has a that's a, that's pretty tight. It's got a fun ring to it. Like, yeah, this is my best friend. This is my sworn brother.
Dang.
Yeah, it's serious.
Yeah. I have a question, and I don't know if this came up in your research about names and things like that. So, in Chinese culture, do they use uncle like they use mother in Britain, where they're like, you know what I mean? Where like as like a
Oh, the head of MI6 is mum. His
is
mum,
mom,
yeah.
yeah, and they call. I think they use uncle for
I
a
thought it was
few
just
do
Uncle Seven.
No, but they called his boss. Didn't he call him uncle
Oh, Uncle
also?
Bill. You're right. He does call his boss Uncle Bill.
So I don't know if they were actual uncles in the way that we understand it, or if there was so something related to like a police or type thing. I don't know.
I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah. I thought when I was just thinking about the gangsters, I can imagine a group of gangsters all hanging around and being like, oh, yeah, that's my uncle. Oh, yeah, that's my uncle. Like, that's why we're hanging around. When really we're, sworn part of the gang. But then you're right. He does use it for the police chief. So I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a term of endearment for a superior who everybody looks up to and respects. I
Yeah,
don't know. Like, we,
superior officer.
yeah. I did enjoy the line that I feel like this is some straight up IMDb trivia right here. This is exactly what IMDb trivia would do. This is not in the IMDb trivia, but this is exactly how they'd phrase it. The one Russian gangster said, this guy can move like a monkey, which is interesting because Jackie Chan did play a monkey in the Kung Fu Panda franchise.
Oh,
That's some straight up IMDb style trivia for you right there.
I didn't realize they
Master
use.
Monkey. He
I
played
didn't realize
Master
they. I
Monkey.
didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What else we got here? I got a few more left. I did enjoy the fact that they were covering Uncle Seven's funeral more like he was a local hero than he was a local gangster crime boss. Like, that news reporter was like really committed to covering this funeral.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole town showed up for it.
Yeah, they had like the like dragons and everything. It was a whole parade almost.
Yeah. Maybe it was a gang that did good for the Asian community that lives in Australia. Yeah.
All right, like mafia, where like they take care of people.
We take care of you, your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you get out of line, and then we take care of you a different way.
I made him an offer. He couldn't refuse. All right. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes. All right, that's the last one. All right. Yeah, I think that's all my. I think that is all my quick picks for First Strike. All right, Darren, we have come to the part of the podcast where I teach you a lesson. Are you ready for your lesson this week? If Sworn Brothers and Australian hotels weren't enough for you, we're going to talk Ukrainian exchange rates. Did you notice how much money he gave Jackie?
I think it was $10 billion, maybe?
That was $1 billion. Yeah, he gave him $1 billion to go spend. And I'm like, okay, what's the exchange rate here? So, now this is based on 2021 money. I couldn't find an exchange rate calculator for 1996. But right. The exchange rate right now, one Ukrainian...
I can't even say it.
Hryvnia? Hryvnia? One Ukrainian dollar, we'll just say, is equal to 0.036 US dollars. So basically 3.5 cents.
Yeah.
So if you were to say, take a girl on a date for a nice dinner here, you might spend maybe $100, right? In Ukraine, you're spending about 2,771 Ukrainian hryvnias. And I apologize if anyone is Ukrainian and listening to this. I'm not saying that right. So yeah, so I don't know what 1 billion hryvnias would be.
So it'd still be $30 million.
Yeah, it's still a lot of money.
And then they hold the joke a little longer because his boss, Uncle Bill is like, oh, buy me caviar while you're there. And he, like, real early on in the movie, he's at like a street vendor buying caviar, and the guy's like, it's 200,000 or something, or like, yeah, some ridiculous number. Yeah,
maybe the exchange rate was even worse in 1996. I don't know.
It's possible. Post Cold War. Yeah, maybe they're. Yeah.
All right, let's get into some trivia. Did you know that Jackie Chan, Inspector Chan, never fires a gun? The whole movie, he never fires a gun.
See, that seems like a very Jackie Chan thing to not fire a gun.
Yep, he'll knock you out. He won't kill you.
Yeah.
Apparently, this movie was originally not part of the Police Story film franchise. And then maybe they added that stuff with Uncle Bill to tie it in.
Hmm.
So this movie was like the first time that this was like a U.S. collaboration, I feel like. Police Story and Police Story 2 did not come out in the United States. Super Cop did. It made $16 million in the U.S., but Super Cop 2 did not. But then First Strike made $15 million in the U.S. So maybe it's the second really Police Story movie in the franchise to come out in the U.S. territory. This movie crushed in Hong Kong, though. It made $57 million. It's top grossing. It was one of the top grossing movies ever in Hong Kong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
All right. What else do we got for you in trivia? Oh, yeah, there were some problems with Annie Wu. She did not speak Cantonese, which is the language in Hong Kong. So a lot of scenes in this movie were done in Mandarin for her sake, which is different than the other Police Story movies. But apparently they all made fun of her terrible, terrible attempts at speaking Cantonese. And then they end up dubbing it anyways in English, which makes it even worse. So there's like three languages at play in this movie.
It's like a double dub.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here's the last one. So when Jackson Sui tells Inspector Jackie, basically, for the American version, that he's a lousy singer, this is actually an inside joke, as Jackie Chan has released multiple albums as a singer. That's right. If you have never heard it, and he did an original song for this movie for the Hong Kong version.
I was just going to say that.
But it was cut out here. So, yeah. So, I've never really paid attention to Jackie Chan's music career, but I think he's had some success with his singing.
I would like to hear him sing, not in a joking way like he did in the movie.
Go on YouTube. It's there. Guarantee it's there. All right, Darren, it is time for us to decide once and for all, Jackie Chan's First Strike. Is it a good movie? Is it a bad movie? What are you saying this week?
I decided, unfortunately, this was a bad movie. Don't get me wrong. Watching Jackie Chan do his thing is always entertaining. Like that, his stunts and his fighting scenes and all of that is really fun to watch. But there were a lot of problems with this movie, which made it difficult to like. The dubbing, unfortunately, was a big problem for me. And then, yeah, maybe adapting it from its original to what we saw in America, like, messed with the story or something, but like, it wasn't that good of a story, or what it had a lot of like, it did not flow well, right? So and like you said, there were times where it was also kind of confusing. You're like, wait, so who's the bad guy? What's happening? And so those things, I couldn't bring myself to call this a good movie, despite Jackie Chan's endless entertainment, physical gifts that make most movies, any movies in, at least entertaining.
I think this, of all movies we've recorded over three seasons, we are the most perfectly in sync in our review of this movie, because I agree with everything you just said. For me, I am also putting this on my bad movie list, not to take anything away from Jackie Chan and the physical stunts that he does in this movie. I think there's definitely some choreography and some fight scenes in here that you would put on the list of best Jackie Chan fight scenes. And probably the red stick fight with the Golden Dragons is probably at the top of that list. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just, the plot, and I don't know what any of the characters' motivations were. I don't know who they were working for. I don't know what they were trying to accomplish with. I feel like they had two nuclear bombs at the beginning of the movie, two nuclear missiles, and they took them apart. I don't even know what the title First Strike means. Wasn't that one of the Russian teams, and then we never go back to them, or the Ukrainian teams?
I don't know.
So yeah, I gotta say, me and Darren are like just perfectly in lockstep with our successes and failures and our thoughts on this movie. So yeah. Jackie Chan First Strike. I'm definitely going to go watch the original Super Cop movies, though. I want to see more of Jackie Chan doing his thing in his native country, in his native language.
Yeah.
I'm down. Let's have a movie night sometime, and let's pop on the first Super Cop movies and check them out.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. That's all our thoughts for this week. Coming up next week,
more Kung Fu.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're doing more fighting. And this is one that I have been waiting a couple seasons to do. There is a new Mortal Kombat movie coming out. It's another one of these dual HBO Max in theaters releases. So we got a new movie coming out, and we are going back to do the original 1995 Mortal Kombat, which scores a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 5.8 on IMDb. Darren, you want to give them a little tease of what our Mortal Kombat yell sounds like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mortal Kombat!
So look forward to a lot of that next week. Basically going to be the whole podcast. Yeah, we grew up playing
if
this.
If I have nothing to say, let's just. I'm gonna say. So, what was your first success? Mortal Kombat.
We're of course trying to keep our voices down because, you know, we have other people in our houses that we're trying not to scare. I'm trying not to set the dogs off. So, yeah, we both grew up, I'm assuming, playing the arcade version of this.
Baby, and, my dog is deaf.
You're right. Your cat. You're going to set your cat off. You yell too loud. We grew up playing the arcade version of this. And, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun going back down memory lane. Back into the 90s, probably our favorite decade to cover. Should we just start make this a 90s movies podcast? I feel like that's where we're heading at this point.
Oh, man, maybe we should.
So, yeah, that's coming up next week. Stay tuned for that. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Please subscribe, rate, and review the show on whatever podcasting app you are listening on. You can follow us on Twitter at No Meh Movies. You can follow me on Twitter at Davey Barris. Let us know what you thought of the movie. Thanks for supporting the show, everyone. And the next time your friends ask about a movie, take a stance and tell them if the movie is good or bad. Because on this show, there are no meh movies.